This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Freethinkers, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
This is radio for the rest of us, radio as godless as our Constitution. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the October 20th, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We produce this show in Madison, Wisconsin, podcasts, and also broadcasts in Columbia, Missouri, and a number of other cities, Grand Rapids, Ithaca, New York, Monterey, California, and other places around the country. So thank you for listening.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which was co-founded back in 1976 as a regional group by my mother, Ann Nicole Gaylor, and myself. And one elderly gentleman from Milwaukee lent his name, and it's grown from the original three to the nation's largest association. It's been the nation's largest association for years, but we are now at 19,000.
Well, I reported at the convention last week, which we'll talk about in a minute, that as of last weekend, we had 19,600 members.
And we have two purposes. Our members are personally free from religion, whether you call yourself a freethinker, atheist, agnostic, skeptic, just too moral to brag about it kind of person.
Agnostic, some people call themselves.
And we also work to keep religion out of government, which is required under our constitutional separation of state and church, our First Amendment.
Today, we're going to talk about an FFRF complaint that has turned into national news. And we've talked about it on a couple of previous shows. This is our complaint about the cheerleaders in Kuntz, Texas. And Kuntz is a little town northeast of Houston. It's spelled K-O-U-N-T-Z-E. Kuntz, Texas, these cheerleaders who have been putting huge Bible verses on the banners that the football players run through.
But first, we want to talk about FFRF's 35th annual convention, which we held last week and in Portland, and we had capacity crowd of almost 900 people. We had Richard Dawkins. We had giving an Emperor Has No Clothes award, much deferred from about 12 years ago when he first accepted it.
And he grabbed the gold statuette and held it up above the crowd. That was a nice moment.
Yeah, we'll have pictures going up online, and we'll have videotapes of the speeches and audio tapes, and they'll be reprinted in Free Thought Today. So those of you who missed it, you'll have plenty of chances to enjoy it.
And Julia Sweeney's hilarious talk about churches that she's visited.
We had student awardees, Jessica Alquist, who got the Freethinker of the Year Award for successfully winning a federal lawsuit, getting a prayer mural taken down from her Rhode Island school. And we were all very glad to see Jessica, who's had quite a year of it, having to go to school under police escort, and now she's being tutored, and she's 17 now. And Max
Nielsen,
our 18-year-old, he's now a college student, and he's our plaintiff in a South Carolina lawsuit against prayer at graduation. And we had Catherine Harris, who wrote The Good News Club, the religious rights assault on our public schools. Sarah Paretsky took ill. We were very sorry about that. The mystery writer, she was going to get a Free Thought Heroine Award. And so Peter Boghossian, who's well known in the Portland area as a atheist philosopher, pinch hit for her. And who else spoke? The clergy panel.
Yeah, the clergy project was a surprise. I knew it was going to be good, but we had, besides myself, there were five other former clergy on the stage talking about their stories. And Jerry DeWitt then asked the audience, should I tell my story or preach my story? And it was so funny. He went into preacher mode and told the whole thing. The audience was, he said, instead of can I have an amen, he says, can I have a Darwin? And the crowd just went crazy yelling out, Darwin, Darwin.
He went into his Pentecostal preacher mode just to show how kind of ludicrous it was. But
yeah,
talking.
Well,
in
it was way
terms.
Over the top, you know, but it was still pretty fun. But it was moving because Some of those clergy are in really dire straits. And Jerry himself right now is losing his family and his house, and he doesn't have a good way to transition back into civilian life.
And I don't want to forget anyone else. Andrew Seidel, who's our newest staff attorney, gave a talk debunking the Christian nation myth. And did we miss anybody?
Well, it was a lot. We had lots of cake. Musical concert.
That's right. And Dan, you debuted your new song, and we will hopefully debut it on Free Thought Radio next week. Who did you write it with?
Well, the song is called Poor Little Me, written with Charles Strauss, the songwriter, the famous Broadway composer. He's in his 80s now. He wrote the music for Annie, the musical Annie, which is being revived this fall. And
he was our Emperor Has No Clothes awardee last year.
So he and I co-wrote a song, and I debuted it at the convention, and I've been waiting for months to do that. And Buzz Kemper, our engineer, tells me that he doesn't quite have the song ready, but I think by next week we'll be able to play for you the radio debut of Poor Little Me.
So it was a lot of fun seeing people from all over the country. We had 43 states represented. We had 6 nations. Some people flew in from Germany and Switzerland. We had people from Alaska and Hawaii. We had two provinces in Ontario represented, many volunteers.
About 880.
Lots and lots of cake.
880 people, was it?
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And next year we'll be here in Madison, Wisconsin on that last weekend in September at the Concourse Hotel, and we'll let you know about that. And then we'll be in Los Angeles probably mid-October of 2014.
And the billboards. When convention goers came to Portland, they were greeted by 15 Free Thought billboards using the faces of area members. And we want to thank our lifetime member, Steve Elting, who took the photos for it.
Yeah, he's a professional photographer, and he volunteered his craft and made this happen in about 3 days. And the campaign uses the slogans, this is what an atheist looks like, and I'm secular and I vote.
So two different themes.
Yeah.
And FFRF is launching now its largest This Is What an Atheist Looks Like campaign to date in Portland. And it's debuting a new slogan, I'm Secular and I Vote. We've leased 3 14-by-48-foot bulletins and 12 eco posters. Those are 10-foot wide billboards, which are appearing in a variety of Portland locations.
And we had too many participants. I had to turn some down, and I was sorry about that. And Freethinkers in the state of Oregon, not Oregon, but Oregon, have plenty of good company. The American Religious Identification Survey shows, and that's from 2008 figures, that 24% of Oregonians identify as non-religious.
Oregonians.
And on the billboard, we had a family, really cute family, Michelle and Justin Atterbury, pictured on one of the 14-by-48-foot bulletins, with their toddler, Sylvan, and their baby, Scarlett. And it said, this is what an atheist family looks like.
And there's also Roy Firestone, an engineer, and Karen Firestone, a Portland homemaker. Another couple, Heather Gonsier, who's a drafter, and Sean Swaggerty, information systems director, appear on a billboard with the same message.
This is what atheists look like. And then we had two appealing brothers, Brent Mangum, who came to the convention with another family member. And he's a young chemist, and he's an OSU tutor, Oregon State University. And his brother, Tyler, who's a physiologist. And they both look too young to have such important jobs. But they're pictured back-to-back on a blue, this is what atheists look like, 14-by-48-foot bulletin.
And other participants on that same campaign are Anita Brown, who had her exotic cat, Wheelie, Renee Barnett, a neurologist, Sonia Maglothan, an income auditor, and then Peter Bogosian, who's the philosophy instructor at Portland State University. He's got a book out coming out called Against Faith. Mark, I don't know how to say his name.
Hecate.
He was a member of FFRF, who's an IT director. And Scott Mullen, a filmmaker.
And I should say Renee Barnett is a neurology grad student, since she's a university teaching assistant. Not quite a neurologist yet. And we actually had some bonus billboards. We didn't have enough money and time to put them all up, but we have two other members who participated, and you can find those at our website. And then, because the election is so close, it's so timely, we unveiled a new slogan, I'm Secular and I Vote, and these were red, white, and blue bulletins with the faces of our Portland members, and those included the very smiling face of Lenora Warren, who's a retired Portland teacher, retired engineer Duane A. Damiano, who's a lifetime member, and a retired politician and novelist, Carolyn Miller, and two retired members, Paul Buchman and Marcia Abelman. So that was kind of fun because with Pew studies showing 19% of the U.S. population is now identifying as non-religious, that makes us almost one in five. When are politicians and candidates going to wake up to these changing demographics and start courting us instead of the religious right? And we are looking for candidates who share a commitment to our foundational principle of the separation between religion and government. We are still looking. And then on to the breaking news, Dan.
So FFR's complaint about those cheerleaders who were more imbued with the spirit of Jesus than school spirit in Koontz, Texas. They promoted their personal religious views in giant paper banners, quoting Bible verses, talking about Jesus, directing the banners to the 2,500 people in the stadium before football players run through the banners. Isn't that a blasphemous thing to do, to burst through Bible verses?
Well, you would think. And we're going to talk about how the Attorney General and the Governor of Texas are all arrayed against us, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, in the second segment.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a national 501c3 educational charity, and we hope not someday, but today you will join us. Go to FFRF.org. And we've been talking about the fact that the Freedom From Religion Foundation started the complaint about the Bible verse-toting high school cheerleaders in Koontz, Texas, that has turned into a national story. It's been covered all over CNN, the New York Times, all the major networks. In Texas, it's such a big story that the Texas Attorney General and the governor are grandstanding and pandering on this issue. And for a little bit of background, we have coverage from KTBC Fox 7 out of Austin.
Joining us to debate this issue tonight are Jonathan Sines with the Liberty Institute and Dan Barker with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He is on the phone with us from Wisconsin. Jonathan, let me start with you. What do you think of these atheists from Wisconsin coming down here and messing with Texas Christians?
Well, unfortunately, this is a pattern that we're starting to see quite a lot in our state. But, you know, the law is very clear on this issue, and I think it's very clear for anyone that knows what's going on. This is about religious freedom. This is about students being able to have that freedom, and not for groups to come in from Washington or D.C. or wherever they want to come in from and try to mislead people about the law. We came in and tried to clean all this up for everyone and say the law is very clear. Students have private religious free speech, and that should not be infringed upon.
Well, Dan, what is the real issue here with what's going on?
We sent a letter on behalf of local Texas residents complaining about the cheerleaders having religious banners at the public high school game. Those cheerleaders are free to advertise and promote their religion on their own time, but there are Jews, there are non-believers, there are Muslims, there are atheists in that audience at an official public high school event. Those cheerleaders cannot hijack that event to force their narrow sectarian superstitions on the entire crowd. Those cheerleaders are the ones who are the bullies. When they are acting in their uniform for the school on school time, they are representing the school. They are not representing themselves. They have insensitively crossed the line of separation between church and state. Let them advertise privately. Let them wear their shirts in the crowd, but not in uniform at the school with the big sign that everybody has to look at as the football players run through.
Well,
that is un-American. That is unkind. That is disrespectful to our diversity of viewpoint. There are at least 5 million non-believers in the state of Texas.
Basically you're saying it's bad manners.
It is bad manners to force their narrow views on the entire student body like that.
Jonathan, what about that?
Well, it seems very clear that this group from Wisconsin or wherever Dan's calling in long distance from the phone will only be satisfied if they censor certain groups. That is absolutely absurd. The First Amendment is very clear. These cheerleaders are allowed to speak. This is private speech. If they want to choose a religious message, if you infringe upon that, that is a constitutional violation. The school district knows it, and they're going to lose.
Yeah, and it is going before a judge, and the governor and the attorney general have joined the fight. Gentlemen, both, Jonathan Sines, Dan Barker, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Now, one of the things those cheerleaders did was sign an agreement that they represented the school when they became cheerleaders. So it's so clear this is school-sponsored, subsidized, approved speech.
Now listen to what one of the cheerleaders said in this AP story about Kuntz.
The cheerleaders at this small Texas high school have found themselves at the center of controversy. Not for their support of the school's football team, but for their support of God through banners like this one before every game.
As students, we still have rights. And as Christians, not only is it our right, but it's our job, it's our duty as Christians to share the word with other people.
The cheerleaders caught the attention of the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation. And complaints forced the local school superintendent to ban the banners. And the cheerleaders filed a lawsuit against the school district.
We are very definitely predominantly Christian community, and so I expected, you know, full support.
Nicole Brether, The Associated Press.
Now, you probably heard the news that last Thursday, a state judge, a court county judge, continued the ruling that the cheerleaders can't be prevented from putting up their Bible verses. The injunction holds. The case continues. And this is state court in Texas, so it's not the right place for this case to be. It should really be in federal court. We are looking for plaintiffs, parents, or students in the schools where similar violations are occurring to come forward and contact us.
And since we were the first to complain about this, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been the topic of a pandering and self-serving press conference by the Attorney General of Texas and by their governor, Rick Perry, who FFRF sued last summer when he organized that huge day of prayer rally in Houston. So Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott held this press conference last Wednesday with Governor Perry, and they blasted FFRF by name. Here's some introductory remarks by the Attorney General.
There's a bigger picture issue here, however, and that is what started all this involving these cheerleaders is that there was an atheist group from Wisconsin who came into the state of Texas and tried to silence these students. We will not allow atheist groups from outside of the state of Texas to come into the state to use menacing and misleading intimidation tactics to try to bully schools to bow down at the altar of secular beliefs.
Now, listen to this. We atheist groups from outside the state menacing, misleading, bullying, bowing down to the altar of secular beliefs. And this is the top law enforcement agent of the state of Texas taking an oath of office to uphold our secular constitution. And he's using his power and imprimatur to diss atheists, creating a climate of fear and intimidation. I've had members in Texas call us and say, we've got kids in the elementary schools and we've complained about state church violations and we're going to be afraid to speak out. There are going to be more violations in the schools, and they're going to be going after my kids.
So who's the bully? He's grandstanding here, really. Listen to what else Attorney General Greg Abbott said about FFRF.
I think it was this very same group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, that tried to bully Henderson County in Athens, Texas, into removing a nativity scene off of the county court grounds. There's a bottom line here, and that is, the state of Texas is defending the United States Constitution, and in this case involving these students, the Texas Education Code, protecting the right of Texans to freely express their religious beliefs. And we are not going to either tolerate or accept these atheist groups trying to prevent that freedom of expression here in the state of Texas.
So again, you know, it's one thing for him to do his job, enforce the laws of Texas, and he should be enforcing the Constitution, but he's using his office to go after a minority. He wouldn't talk this way about a group of Jews or a group of Muslims or a group of blacks from some other state coming in. I mean, this contempt does create a climate of making atheists and agnostics in Texas feel like they're second-class citizens or, you know, that they can't even speak out.
And the attorney general sitting right next to the governor of Texas, and then the governor jumps in.
You know, the underlying problem here is that there's this very vocal, as you shared, and very litigious minority of Americans that are willing to legally attack anybody who dares to utter a phrase, a name that they don't agree with.
So here, the underlying problem according to the Attorney General of Texas, is us, FFRF, and our Texas membership and those who support separation between church and state. Now, I hear Carmen, Dan. Why are we listening to Carmen?
Well, because October 25th, 1838 was the birthday of the free-thinking composer Bizet, Georges Bizet, who rejected Christianity, who only wanted to write what he wanted to write. So this is a little bit of...
bequeath the world this beautiful music.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit more, but this is a little bit of Carmen. We'll be back to hear more about what Governor Perry said about the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our discussion of the brouhaha over the cheerleaders in Koontz, Texas. And we heard last Thursday on October 18th that the judge has allowed them to continue for the rest of the school year. In other words, they enjoined the school from banning the banners. The school's trying to do the right thing, and the students, the cheerleaders, are suing under free speech.
And it's such a pity when, you know, we got with such alacrity the right decision out of the Koontz, Texas school district. And sometimes we're wrangling with superintendents for months over things like this, and they immediately said, you're right. I'm not even sure they knew it was going on. And then they get sued by the cheerleaders with the help of this Christian it's called Liberty Institute, which is not the same thing as Liberty Council. So that's a great pity, but they are saying and doing the right things.
So what's happening here is there's going to be a trial in June 24th, I think. And so the school is enjoined temporarily from banning the banners as they want to do. And during the hearing, the attorney representing the school, who was doing the right thing, Thomas Brandt was his name, he said in here that the girls are puppets on a string. The superintendent, although making a very unpopular decision, he said, did not make it in malice. He made the decision based on Santa Fe versus Doe, which is another Texas Supreme Court case which banned prayers at graduation.
It's the most recent case on prayer and religion in the schools by the Supreme Court, and it was about so-called student-led and student-initiated prayers at football games. And they made the same arguments there that, oh, no, this is the individual. And the Supreme Court did not buy it. It said this has got the stamp of approval, the appearance of the stamp of approval of the school district. And that case was taken by Mormons and Catholics,
right.
Students who felt like they were turned into second-class citizens because they were the minorities in districts that were primarily Southern Baptist. So it's not just non-believers who care about separation of church and state.
And Thomas Brandt, the attorney representing the school district, went on to say at this hearing, the political winds are blowing very strong in one direction, but the law says something different. This is not a freedom of speech case. This is an issue of the Establishment Clause, which is what we've always believed, mm-hmm. in which the cheerleaders are saying it's just free speech.
No, and of course, it's in state court, and that's the problem, is they're not going to look at Santa Fe versus Doe, which is federal. So we really think this needs to move into state court. If we had plaintiffs coming forward from Texas and the communities where this is now, there's copycats going on in the cheerleading squads, then we had students or parents with children in the schools, FFRF, could go into federal court where this should be argued.
So before the break, we were listening to the press conference that the Attorney General and the Governor of Texas had last week about our complaint in Koontz, and the governor had just said that we are a litigious minority willing to attack anybody who dares to utter a phrase, a name they don't agree with. Then he makes it worse. Listen to Governor Rick Perry's distorted view of the founding of our country.
We're a nation that's built on the concept of free expression of ideas. We're also a culture built upon the concept that the original law is God's law, outlined in the Ten Commandments.
In here again, a public official who's taken an oath to uphold a secular and godless constitution that he has never read and clearly does not understand. There's no God in our Constitution. There's no Ten Commandments in our Constitution. It's the there's no original law that is God's that has anything to do with the founding of our government. So very dismaying. I guess we have come to expect this from Governor Rick
Perry. What else would you expect from a governor who has this record of pro-conservative religious right wordings? Never want to avoid cliched wordings, especially a religious cliché. Here's Governor Rick Perry ending his press conference.
Let me just say that what those young cheerleaders in Koontz, Texas did, that the Lord does work in mysterious ways.
You probably didn't know that Governor Perry found the time. It was on October the 5th, before a Friday football game in Koontz, mm-hmm. Texas. He found the time to Skype the cheerleaders in Koontz, Texas, in order to cheer them on in their decision to use their cheerleading podium to promote Christianity. So these girls are in this room, and he's Skyping from the governor's mansion, and he's quoting Bible verses at them.
He says, "Here I am." He starts it off saying, "Here I am in the governor's mansion." And he's egging them on and cheering on their Bible cheerleading, and here's how he ends it.
What you all are doing with your scripture on your banners, I'm proud of you. God bless you.
Thank you.
So what kind of lesson are these high school students getting from their governor and their attorney general? And now we want to move along to the religious right, and we've been talking about the toxic climate for free thought and state church separation and for atheists created by the Texas Attorney General condemning FFRF and by extension our 700 members in Texas and all free thinkers in the state, and Governor Rick Perry kind of seconding this condemnation. Well, now a rather infamous Texas figure gets into the act, and that is David Barton. And Dan, briefly, he has this group called Wall Builders.
The Wall Builders.
But the whole purpose of his group is to spread disinformation about how our nation is supposedly a Christian nation and founded on God, and to tear down, the Wall Builders wants to tear down the wall of separation between church and state.
And David Barton, whom we're going to hear from in a second, is notorious for circulating spurious quotes of our founding fathers, some which he has later admitted were spurious, and then misinterpreting and taking out of context other quotes by the founding fathers. Last August, the Liberty Institute and the Family Research Council released a report called The Survey on Religious Hostility in America, which was about 600 cases showing how bad the country is for the religious right. And during this report, David Barton, they did like a radio show about this report, and listen to what David Barton said about groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And I really blame a lot of this climate on the secular groups, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the Americans United, the People for the American Way, the Military Freedom Foundation, all these guys who have so made the climate so toxic that if you share your faith, public officials feel like they have to come down on you with both feet. Otherwise, they'll get sued, end up in court, and have to spend millions of dollars defending something religious. And so these guys have created such a hostility in the public that now public officials and school officials and city council officials and those who run senior centers and everything else, they are so scared to death of seeing faith that if they see it, man, they feel like they got to jump on it with both feet and both hands and bring out the hammers and run over you with the car and then pull out a chainsaw and cut you to pieces. And it's just, they overreact. And I really blame a lot of those organizations.
They overreact. Listen to that ridiculous litany. Now, I guess I'm kind of proud that Freedom From Religion Foundation rated at the top of the list. When Jerry Falwell did his infamous list after 9/11, you know, we were left out, and that was dismaying. So
I guess we're doing something right for somebody like David Barton to go after us. But to say that the school board in Koontz, Texas is stomping with both feet and cutting these cheerleaders up with chainsaws and running a car over them before daring to say anything religious is way over the top, when in fact it is groups like FFRF and Americans United and the ACLU who are fighting for that precious freedom that is in the First Amendment, the freedom of conscience.
And we have some bumper stickers. I won't waste them on David Barton, but one of them says, "Protect the First Amendment, it protects you." The First Amendment protects all of us by keeping religion out of government, because once government gets behind religion, whose religion? Somebody is going to be an insider and the others are going to be outsiders. And we also have a bumper sticker that says, love thy First Amendment. And we quote President Ulysses S. Grant, a famous quote that he made about how we keep religion out of government. So this is a revered position, historic position, and we will continue fighting to preserve our constitutional separation of church and state, which has kept our country free of so much of the divisiveness and bloodshed and religious wars that have rocked the rest of the world.
So there's a difference between free speech and government speech, and that's what this whole thing is about. When you're looking at some potential violation of the separation of state and church, ask yourself, does this look like it's individuals, which we all have freedom of speech? Does it look like free speech from an individual, or does it look like it's the government speaking? And when the government speaks, the government's hands are tied. That's what the Establishment Clause means. Before any of our freedoms are spelled out in the First Amendment, freedom of religion, press, assembly, and all of that, first, there's a non-freedom given. The Establishment Clause tells the government that they can make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
And public officials, public school officials, must also honor that constitutional separation. So we'll be back in a minute to hear something kind of funny by Garrison Keillor, his take on the new Pew study showing that 1 in 5 Americans is now non-religious.
Is this the Texas fight song going here?
Yep, well, they sure are fighting, but they've met worthy adversaries. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord.
I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylord.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie.
And we've been talking about the cheering news on earlier shows, and it really is something that freethinkers can cheer about, that new Pew survey showing that 19%, or almost 1 in 5 adult Americans, is now non-religious. And if that's a teenager into the 20-somethings, make that 1 in 4 at least who is non-religious.
So Garrison Keillor of public radio was apparently tickled by this encouraging statistic, and here's his take about it called How Will You Get Casserole?
There was a study that came out this week. The Pew Research Foundation found that 1/5 now of all Americans, this is up from about 15,000, now 15%, 20% of Americans don't identify themselves as religious. We Protestants have fallen to less than 50%. 48% we are dropping. Catholics right around 22%. Mormons have added 2 million in the last decade or so. But a large number of people are either atheist, agnostic, or they just don't care. And they want to be part of, which is their business, of course. I just worry about cuisine that may be disappearing from from our world. That you will own. Well, I wrote a song about it here. A national survey's been taken from which some data emerge. Big increase in unbelievers, fewer are going to church. Others may talk about morals and what is the state of their souls. I say, if you are not Lutheran, how will you get casserole? Agnostics eat tuna broiled, atheists eat tuna raw. Who will will serve tuna hot dish, only your Lutheran grandma. When we were crossing the desert, God sent down food for our souls, rained down manna from heaven, which we put in Tupperware bowls. Jell-O, limoncello with mandarin oranges and miniature marshmallows, marshmallow filled, sprinkled with walnuts, chopped walnuts on top, and a layer of Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip. Will there be no more church suppers? No more marshmallow roasts, no more funeral lunches served by our grandmother's ghosts. Atheists use drive-up windows at the fast food joints by the mall. I miss the smells and the singing in the church fellowship hall.
If we were going to use the new way to end songs or end exclamatory language that Jerry DeWitt, the former Pentecostal, the first graduate of the Clergy Project, we'd be saying Darwin instead of amen.
Or like Kristen Lem says, persons instead of amen.
And atheists and agnostics and other non-believers enjoy good food, too, and our world-famous atheist cookbook has now sold out, but we continue to put recipes in the wrap of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, and there's lots of really good recipes. And
I submitted one.
It's called
Chicken Salad with No Religious Nuts.
And it's a very good recipe. And churches and church halls have no corner on good food or on good times,
and my
maybe we'll diss some of the bad stuff. We won't miss that. You know,
and don't forget my LOL juice. Do you remember that? Lemon, orange, and lime juice.
Now, we wanted to take a moment to direct people who listen regularly to Free Thought Radio to lots of resources online at ffrf.org. You can see all those billboards that we talked about that are throughout Portland, very cheery message. This is what atheists look like. I'm secular and I vote. You can go to ffrf.org/news. Look for the news releases, and they're all there. You can read all about our statement to Governor Perry and Attorney General Greg Abbott in Texas. And you can read the amicus brief that our legal team came up with. You can read our original letter of complaint. You can listen to this preposterous press conference that the Attorney General and the Governor had. And you can read the transcript that our legal assistant, Liz Cavell, kindly printed out for us, so that, you know, these remarks that they made about atheists. So there's all kinds of information available at ffrf.org. And then what else do we have, Dan?
Well, we also have non-tracts. Have you ever had someone come to your front door with religious literature and you would like to exchange with them? They hand you tracts. Well, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has produced, 10 or 12 or 13, what we call non-tracts, tracts for non-believers.
13 for a lucky number.
Tracts for non-believers. And one of them that Annie Laurie put together is called 10 Common Myths About Atheists and Other Freethinkers. And I think we should hand this to Governor Perry and the Attorney General of the state of Texas.
Maybe after the 2,000 people of Kuntz.
What are some of the common myths about atheists, Annie Laurie?
I think all non-believers have heard these. How can you be a good person, or all atheists are immoral, or you want to be an atheist because you don't want God to cramp your lifestyle, and this is all nonsense. We think that people who are in control of their own minds are more moral than somebody who only does good because they think they'll get a reward in heaven or to avoid this ridiculous everlasting punishment.
Yeah, but isn't it we are atheists because we just don't want any moral restraints? We want to be free to sin, free,
well,
you know.
Okay, Dan, what do you say to that?
Well, I think it's the other way around. If you're following commandments, you have no moral, inner moral restraint. You're just following orders. And actually, if what God says goes, then there is no morality. You are free to kill if God tells you to kill. That's what Dinesh D'Souza said during our debate last week in Pennsylvania.
If you thought that God was really speaking to him to kill you, he would do it.
Exactly. And so free thinkers are motivated by instinct and by reason and by kindness rather than by command.
And also, we would point out that the prisons are full of religious criminals. Our planet is besieged by holy wars, and religion more often than not leads followers astray. And people who are taught never to question authority are obviously more easily duped or victimized. So you can, some of the non-tracts you can read online, we make them available basically at cost so you can distribute them. If you're getting besieged by religious pamphlets yourself, make them available. And there's all kinds of other resources, books and timely topics, which is also under news that will help someone debate religion. And so go to our website at fffrf.org.
Annie Laurie also debunks atheists are responsible for the world's ills. Atheists have no reason to live. Atheists are angry people. Atheists must be unhappy and so on. So you can read about how you can respond to these claims about atheists and other freethinkers. So we want to thank our producer and our engineer, Dave McCann, for doing another great show for us, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper, whom you met at the convention last week in Portland. Find out more at ffrf.org/radio to hear all of the previous 330 shows and to sign up for the podcast.
And sign up for a membership. Support what we do. Support our actions in Koontz, Texas, our amicus brief, our 10 lawsuits. We have a lot going on in Pennsylvania, Montana, here in Wisconsin. And we'd like your support. It's tax deductible for income tax purposes. And we invite you to tune in next week for more blasphemous broadcasting and rational radio.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope